There's been a lot of hype lately about a new technology, 5G.
5G is here.
5G internet.
5G, a new faster network that has the potential to transform the internet.
It's a revolutionary kind of internet that promises to change everything from your phone to home internet to more futuristic fields.
5G will be the foundation for virtual reality, autonomous driving, the internet of things, and stuff we can't even yet imagine.
But the rollout of 5G has also sparked a battle between two major industries. On one side are America's telecom giants, AT&T and Verizon. On the other are airlines like American, Delta, and United. What's at stake for either side?
Well, from the aviation standpoint, what's at stake is safety. Obviously, everybody wants to be safe when they're flying in an airplane. For the telecom companies, well, billions of dollars are at stake for these companies.
And in the middle of this fight are two federal agencies trying to figure out who's right.
It's a classic business story about two different industries that each want something out of the federal government, and they're at odds about how to get it. And this is a situation where both sides ought to be able to coexist and get what they want.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, January 24th. Coming up on the show, the fight between telecoms and airlines over 5G.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
Over the past few years, AT&T and Verizon have been investing billions of dollars into making 5G a reality.
5G is the next generation of cell phone service.
That's our colleague Drew Fitzgerald. He covers telecoms.
It's kind of like a new operating system on your PC. You have to upgrade those every few years, and the wireless companies are doing the same thing with their networks.
What are the benefits of 5G?
We know that the benefits are going to be much faster speeds. Your videos, your Zoom calls, your Netflix, your TikToks, they're all going to be much faster and smoother, even if you're in a crowded area.
To get 5G started, AT&T and Verizon had to secure the rights to the airwaves that could carry the 5G signals. These radio waves, known as spectrum, are used by many industries, like radio and television, and airlines. So in 2017, the telecom giants hit up the feds, specifically the Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC.
These companies go to the U.S. government and say, may I have more spectrum, please, so that I can upgrade my network to include these faster speeds. And the federal government sells it through an auction so that this valuable resource goes to the highest bidder, and then the taxpayer gets credit for that.
And when was that auction scheduled for?
It was scheduled for late 2020, December 2020.
Did that go off without a hitch?
Not quite.
Years before the auction, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, had been sounding alarms about certain 5G signals. The agency worried they would interfere with some aircraft equipment, specifically radar altimeters.
These are the machines in planes and helicopters that tell you how high off the ground you are, that these sorts of machines might pick up signals from 5G towers.
A lot of aircraft rely on these altimeters to land, especially in low visibility conditions. But engineers at the FCC had reviewed data and concluded 5G was unlikely to interfere with airplane equipment.
The FCC's argument is the FAA may be the expert agency in planes and helicopters, but the FCC's stance is that it is the expert agency in all things to do with these invisible airwaves. They have professional engineers. They have experts on their own staff who crunch all these numbers.
AT&T and Verizon also pointed to similar rollouts around the world that they say indicate 5G signals appear safe. Still, these two agencies, the FAA and the FCC, weren't able to resolve their differences on their own. So the FAA escalated. And a week before the auction, it sent a letter to another federal agency. Who did they send this letter to?
Well, that's where you get into the kind of bureaucratic alphabet soup of agencies in Washington.
Oh, this is where the episode gets really fun.
This is where the fun stuff starts. Well, they sent that letter to the NTIA, which is a third federal agency that kind of plays ref, marriage counselor, whatever you want to call it, in these sorts of disputes involving spectrum. So they sent that letter saying, we have serious concerns about the impact that using this particular spectrum could have on airplanes. And we can't guarantee that there won't be risks to aircraft. So please pull the plug and postpone the auction until we can figure out what's going on. The FAA cited a paper that had been written a few months before that cited data not from field testing. It was data gathered from theoretical tests and lab tests.
But the NTIA, the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, didn't see a lot of reason to hold up the auction, according to officials.
They didn't consider it a credible argument. They considered it late, a week to go before the auction started, which is extremely last minute for these sorts of things. And they deferred to the FCC, which has its own experts, who wrote in the record they considered the issue and thought it warranted more investigation, but was not serious enough to stop the auction over.
So the FCC went ahead with its auction, and the telecom companies spent a record-breaking $81 billion. All right, so the phone companies get their licenses. What do?
Well, they get to work. They start sending out crews to cell towers around the country, and they retrofitted a lot of those towers to be ready for this new type of spectrum that would make cell phones and all sorts of other mobile devices faster.
Telecom companies were investing billions on infrastructure so they could have their nationwide 5G network turned on in December 2021. But the argument over airplane safety, it hadn't gone away.
By the summer and certainly the early fall, these conversations were still happening. Not necessarily the bigwigs, but you had staff members and engineers for the FAA talking to their counterparts at the FCC and sometimes other agencies saying, guys, we still have a problem. We still have concerns.
Why was it so hard for these aviation regulators to get their concerns heard?
We have a change of administration. And with a change in administration, that means new political appointees at the head of the FCC, a lot of people going out the door and a lot of positions that went unfilled. But another reason that these two agencies didn't really gel seems to be that they were speaking different languages.
What do you mean?
Well, the head of the FAA actually alluded to this the other day. The experts at the FAA know about planes and helicopters. The experts at the FCC know about cell phone towers and other things like that. And what we've heard from people who were involved in the process was that a lot of times they were just using different types of engineering terms or different ways of collecting data, different formats. You can think of it as almost like trying to share a file between an Android and an Apple device. You know, sometimes it's just janky. And when they were sharing information, they were hearing each other, but they weren't always on the same page about what the solution was.
So the federal agencies weren't making progress, but AT&T and Verizon, they were going full throttle to turn on their new 5G networks. But then, the FAA took matters into its own hands. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
As the telecom companies got closer to their December 5G launch, the FAA was running out of time to convince them to stop.
The FAA can't tell AT&T or Verizon to turn off their cell towers. It doesn't have the legal authority to do that. But it does have a pretty powerful weapon in saying, we are not confident that flying is safe until you do X. So even if legally the FAA doesn't have the authority to tell AT&T what to do, practically it kind of does.
So what did the FAA do?
The FAA said it was going to use its power to restrict air flights if you're operating a certain type of plane or you're flying into a certain type of airport and it's low visibility, not able to see directly the runway that is in front of you and you're relying on instruments, you may not be able to do that with the instruments that we're concerned about.
How did the airlines react at that time?
Well, the airlines were very worried because the rules weren't in effect yet, but they could potentially cancel or divert thousands of planes. And this is happening at a time when these airlines are also dealing with COVID and are short of staff, so they've canceled thousands of flights already.
In late November, AT&T and Verizon backed down and delayed their 5G launch by a month. But the negotiations still didn't make much progress, so the telecoms had to do something again.
They were up in arms about spending billions of dollars on this valuable asset that is now kind of hard to use, or at least in question. And they wrote a strongly worded letter to regulators and to the aviation industry at large saying, we will delay one more time, but that's it. We won't delay anymore.
They extended the deadline 2 weeks, and the two sides tried to find a compromise. The FAA wanted a buffer around airport runways where 5G wouldn't operate. At issue, the size of that buffer. As the deadline approached, no compromise was reached, and the FAA's restrictions loomed. So airlines prepared for flight disruptions.
These companies were panicking because they were getting predictions that huge swaths of their fleets could be grounded and that international flights might not get the all clear to land in the U.S. at all.
So the CEOs from major airlines, including American, Delta, and United, turned to the White House. In a letter, they warned of a, quote, catastrophic disruption to flights. They asked officials to stop the telecom companies from turning on the new 5G signals within 2 miles of some airport runways. And according to your reporting, how did the White House respond?
As much as the White House might have agreed with the cell phone companies that they have every right to use these licenses they bought, the administration also wanted to have nothing to do with grounding thousands of flights. The White House backed this plan, and it wasn't that long. It was only a few hours before AT&T and Verizon agreed to go along with it.
After weeks of haggling, a solution was finally in hand. But no one was exactly happy with what happened. In an earnings call last week, the CEO of American Airlines said, quote, it wasn't our finest hour, I think, as a country. For AT&T and Verizon, the financial cost of the compromise could be big. Restricting 5G around major runways leaves tons of potential customers out of reach.
It's a really big deal because these companies bought this extra spectrum for cities. What they bought was really to serve people in crowded areas. They're trying to use it to keep those pinwheels from popping up in places where there are so many people using their phones at once that there's a danger that they could get congested in the future.
Verizon told Drew it believes it will be able to reach its customer target even with the restrictions. AT&T said the temporary rules haven't significantly weakened its 5G expansion. How long do you think it will be before AT&T and Verizon can switch on those last towers, if ever?
I think they're going to be able to switch on more of those towers within the next few months, but they're not going to get everything they want. I think this is going to be a back and forth among the telecom companies and among the airlines and the FAA for really years. And it's going to be a lot of work behind the scenes, maybe not as publicly as it has been over the past few weeks, to get both sides comfortable with where they're operating. So there's no easy answer to that.
Looking at all of this, who is responsible here?
Well, these government agencies are responsible. At the end of the day, it's the job of these agencies to talk to each other. It's their job to share notes and make sure that the rules that they're going to impose are good for the public. This debate over who gets to use their property and in what way needs to be solved in a way that nobody notices and that people who are on airplanes or using their cell phones don't ever think about, because it's so much in the background.
That's all for today, Monday, January 24th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Allison Sider and Andrew Tangle. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.